The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The disciples approached Jesus and said, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a child over, placed it in their midst, and said, "Amen, I say to you, unless you convert and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such child as this in my name receives me. See that you do not despise any one of these little ones. For I say to you that their angels in heaven are always looking upon the face of my heavenly Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
Today, this Feast of the Guardian Angels is one of my favorite feasts of the year. It's an opportunity for each of us to come forward and thank God for the gift of our guardian angels. Most Catholics, unfortunately, ignore their guardian angels. They ignore the spiritual realm, living in a materialistic society that says that the only things that exist are able to be seen at least under a microscope, if not by the naked eye. This spiritual universe that we proclaim every Sunday, but don't, I think, adequately ponder enough, that we believe in the visible and the invisible created by the Lord, that we believe in these spiritual, non-corporeal beings that the Catechism, in paragraph 328, says very clearly, is a part of our Catholic faith. Today is an opportunity for us to remember this truth, to reawaken to this reality, but most importantly, to begin to live the way God would want us to live with our guardian angels. Blessed Pope John the 23rd called the guardian angels our bodyguards. But they're not bodyguards that will prevent us from doing evil. They do want to protect us. But sometimes they're like the Secret Service of Jack Kennedy, right? Who had to look the other way when he was bringing in his mistresses. The guardian angels want to guard us, guide us, lead us. But we need to recognize that they're there and allow them to do their work. I'd like to focus on several practical ways we should be looking toward our guardian angels each day. First way is before we go to bed every night. A very practical level, to entrust ourselves to their care and to ask them to wake us up on time. St. Jose Maria, who had a tremendous devotion to the guardian angels, it was today, 85 years ago, that in a church dedicated to the holy angels on this feast day, he saw what the Lord was asking of him. He used to call the guardian angel his watch, because most of the time his watch was broken during the Spanish Civil War, and the only way he would be able to get up is when the guardian angel would wake him. There have been many times when I haven't had an alarm clock that I've needed to get up before a full night's rest in order to catch a plane or anything else. And I always entrust myself to the guardian angel. But at a particular time, if you have snoozeitis in the morning, if you can't get out of bed on time, ask your guardian angel to get you out of bed on time. When you do, everything changes. Second thing, to pray to your guardian angel. Many of you may have heard that prayer in infancy, but I wonder sometimes how much we pray it and we mean it. O angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love commits me here, be ever this day or night at my side, to light and guard, to rule and guide. Those four verbs, to open ourselves up to this reality of what the guardian angels want to do. They want to illumine us with the thoughts that come from God. They want to guard us, protect us, just like any parent would want a child to be protected. If a little boy or a girl is going out, they tell their older brother and sister, keep guard over your brother and sister, watch, protect, make sure that they're okay. God the Father loves us more than any parent would. And he's given each of us a guardian angel to guard us. But we need to recognize that they're there, that they've got our back. We've got to trust in them. Third, to rule. In a sense that we become docile to our guardian angel. We turn over the schedule. We turn over some of our choices, which doesn't take away our freedom, but it opens us up to the fact that we need God's light. And when the angels are constantly, as Jesus tells us in the Gospel, beholding the face of the Eternal Father, a lot of the times they're going to see things far more clearly than we do. So in any question of discernment, little things or big things, to ask the help of the guardian angels. They already know the end of the picture. A lot of the times they can brighten us to that reality. To rule and guide. To allow them, in a sense, to direct our steps over the course of the day. How should I spend this time? What should I do with this free time that I have? Often when we entrust that question to a guardian angel, we'll be much better off. Third practical application is how we pray. We not only pray to our guardian angels, but we pray together with our guardian angels. For me, it's always a beautiful reality that when I'm praying in the morning in the chapel over in the rectory, I know I'm not praying alone. I know my guardian angel's right there with me. And I know so many others from that spiritual realm are with me as well. And I ask them a lot to teach me how to pray with real reverence, to be able to adore the Lord as he deserves, to adore the Lord the way the saints are adoring him in heaven, which the angels observe. A lot of the times when we're praying the rosary when we're tired, I'm sure some of you have also used this trick that you turn to your guardian angel and say, even if I fall asleep, please finish this with devotion for me. That we recognize that we're never alone, that God has given us this best friend, this real spiritual bodyguard, whose one thing for us is the most important thing of all. He's got a total one-track mind, our salvation and sanctification. And so he's really the best friend we've ever had because he wants the best for us. Third is when we begin to approach others, how we can use our guardian angels to do it. St. Francis de Sales used to say that whenever he would mount the pulpit, he would look around and he would greet the guardian angels of everyone who was present. It's a practice that I've followed since I discovered it in St. Francis de Sales. One of the beautiful things that I saw on pilgrimage in Paray-le-Monial was there was the Jesuit church where St. Claude de la Colombière, the spiritual director of St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, was buried. There's a beautiful mosaic at the back of the apse, resplendent, in which Jesus is seated on the throne with his Sacred Heart exposed, but the whole throne's filled with the fire of his love, burning out of love for us. And then you've got a whole bunch of the saints of the Sacred Heart and some of the Jesuit saints as well who spread the devotion of the Sacred Heart all around that apse mosaic. And what a lot of people miss in that mosaic, and you kind of have to look at it a second time, is behind every single one of those saints, St. Francis de Sales, St. Ignatius, St. Francis Xavier, St. Claude de Colombier, St. Margaret Mary, etc., behind every single one of those saints was their guardian angel depicted in mosaic. Basically to say, we're giving homage to both. It's not just to the saints, but to the angels that guided them, that guarded them, that lit them, that protected them. All of this to open ourselves up. There are many times in my pastoral ministry in which I've got to do some difficult things. Have that conversation with the person who's just all full of battery acid against the church. And the family member sits me next to him at a funeral reception or a wedding reception just because they haven't been successful in converting. So let's stick Father Landry on him. And when I walk into those situations, I always say, 3-on-1. It's me, my guardian angel, and that person's guardian angel on that person. There's no situation that's intimidating when you look at those odds. And if the tradition of the church is right, that every priest gets a ministerial archangel, 4-on-1. Likewise, when you're having that conversation about the faith with someone, open yourself up to the reality that they have a guardian angel and invoke that guardian angel's help. You know, Padre Pio, who likewise had a great devotion to the angels, he used to say to people, if you're ever trying to reach me but you can't, if you need my prayers in particular and for whatever reason you can't reach me, just pray to my guardian angel. And there was one very famous episode where there was a bus taking pilgrims to San Giovanni Rotondo, and the bus got into this very harrowing situation. And they remembered what Padre Pio had said. And so there in that circumstance, they prayed to the guardian angel of Padre Pio. They were extricated from that circumstance. And when they finally arrived at San Giovanni Rotondo, Padre Pio was there to greet them. And they said, you'll never believe what happened last night. He says, I already know. You sent my guardian angel to wake me up so that I could pray for you. And he had prayed for you. And a lot of the times when you just can't get through to someone you care about, pray to their guardian angel. The guardian angel can wake them up. When you're worried about a circumstance somebody's in, pray to the guardian angel to remind them in that circumstance of a commitment they had made, for example, a resolution, a promise they had made to do this in a particular way, even though they might be tempted to do otherwise, but to make it very practical. The last thing I'll mention in terms of the use of the guardian angels with regard to others is when we recognize that everybody's got a guardian angel praying before the Lord, we're always going to see their dignity. Always. Saint Jose Maria had this great tradition that whenever he would meet someone, he would greet their guardian angel first. And it always reminded him of how precious this person was, even if the person would try his patience, as sometimes would happen to every one of us, to greet the guardian angel first, even with a little baby, even your little baby. It's one of the types of things that can give you confidence, even in the midst of a scary world. Last thing I want to mention is, as we come forward to pray this Mass, it's the guardian angels that'll help us to really pray the Mass. If you could see your guardian angel adoring the Lord in the tabernacle right now, and adoring the Lord as soon as he changes in my fingertips in a few minutes, the way that you would approach the Mass would totally change. Ask for the grace to see him. I printed in the bulletin a couple months ago that mystical experience of Catalina Rivas from Bolivia about how our guardian angels want to take the offering of our life to the altar, and that some guardian angels look so sad at that part of the Mass because those to whom the Lord has entrusted to them, those whom the Lord has entrusted to them, often have nothing to offer. They just come as routine. Your guardian angel at this Mass wants to unite you totally to this sacrifice and open you up to receive every grace Jesus won on the cross that we're capable of handling. Let your guardian angel do that. And today, throughout this day, let your guardian angel light your path, guide you, guard you, and rule you. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.